Listen to your word, but Lord, that be doers of your word. Father God, help me to give what you would have me to say. Father God, work through my lips, through my personality, to give your word to your people tonight. And Father God, I thank you. Satan, I rebuke you. You have no right to steal the word from any of the hearts of God's people. I command you to go in the name of Jesus. I say to God that the heart of people of God's people will receive God's word 30, 60, and 100-fold. Fruit will be born in their lives, and I thank you, Father, for it in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. You may be seated. Glory to God. I'm gonna try to be brief. I'm primarily a teacher. I'm more of a teacher expositor. I'm not so much a preacher. I can't really get into the I could probably do it, but it wouldn't be anointed. Praise God. I could probably get you excited, but I don't think you would leave here with much. There are men of God who are anointed to do that. I'm just not one of them. Praise God. I can get a crowd stirred up, but if God's not in it, you will leave here with nothing but a happy feeling. Praise Jesus. But I'm gonna, if you don't mind, I'm gonna do a little bit of teaching tonight, and we're just gonna go through a few scriptures in the Bible, and the topic I'm dealing with tonight is pretty much in the form of a question, in which I ask, who destroys? Is it God or sin in our lives? Which one destroys us? Which one came to save us? Which one came to destroy us? You see, one of the areas that God has given me insight and revelation into is his character. And I believe the commission and the call of God that he's placed on me has been to help people to understand the truth concerning him, his reputation and his character, because within the churches and in other places, especially amongst the sinners, God seems to have a very bad reputation. Praise God. I mean, I don't know if any of you have seen or read some of the books by some of the atheists out there where they have just accused God. One calls God the worst monster in all of fiction. There's some nasty things that are being said about God. And then you see the way our nation is going right now. I mean, some of the most ridiculous stuff that is happening in our nation. Have y'all been paying attention to some of the crazy stuff going on? I mean, North Carolina decided to have what they call a common sense law in which they want people that was born a certain gender to use that gender's bathroom. Praise God. Yet, our president and his Department of Justice wants to sue them and call it discrimination. There's a lot of crazy stuff going on. I mean, we're allowing men to marry men and women to marry women. We are now allowing abortion on demand. There's a lot of, you know, there's a lot of things going on. And then we wonder, why do we have so many natural disasters that are starting to hit our nation? Praise God. Why is there what seems to be so much judgment coming upon our nation? Is it because God is mad and he says, you know what, y'all have offended me and I'm going to just destroy you? Or is it because we keep pushing God away, losing his protection, and thereby hurting ourselves and destroying ourselves through our sin? Praise God. See, this is the kind of question. See, the way you answer that question or the choice that you make concerning the answer will determine how you picture and view God or the type of God you have in your mind. And the reason why this is very important is because you become like the thing you worship. Praise God. You know, I like the name of this church, Holy Temple Church, Church of God in Christ. Praise God. Because, see, as long as you keep in mind that you are in a place where that's holy, then you will live to be holy. Praise Jesus. See, what we look at and what we think about always determines what we're going to be. What we visualize always determines what we're destined to do, praise God. And the type of God that we visualize and the type of God that we worship and the type of God that we understand is the type of person that we become or the type of Christian that we become. Think about the Muslims, for example. Especially the very radical ones like ISIS. The reason why they're not afraid to kill, the reason why they kill without remorse, is because that's the way their God is. The type of God that they worship is the type of person they become. Allah has no mercy. He has no love. As far as he's concerned, you and I, because we worship Jesus Christ, we are infidels, praise God. And we are worthy of death. So their only options, as far as you and I are concerned, is either receive Allah and renounce Jesus Christ or die. And we'll be happy to make sure that we kill you. But that's because Allah is that cruel, praise God. Now, Jesus Christ is nothing like that. Jesus Christ is loving, he's kind, he presents you with choices and within love. If you read 2 Corinthians chapter 5, Paul talks about how the Spirit of God is within them pleading to the world, be ye reconciled to God. God is so in love with this world that he is pleading with the world to be reconciled to him. See, God knows that unless we are connected to him, then our disconnect leaves us open to Satan and demonic forces, praise God. And we remain under their influence, and we remain liable to their destructive powers and influences in our lives, praise God. And so, as we begin to understand the truth about God, as we begin to understand the love of God, and we begin to understand how God operates, and then we will begin to see how sin, or we get a better picture of what sin is and why we should not sin. Amen. You see, sometimes we try not to sin because we think that God's going to strike us dead. If we understand sin from a different perspective, then we will have a different attitude about why we shouldn't do it. Praise Jesus. See, I've gotten to the place where I don't want to sin because I'm just in love with the Lord. Oh, glory to God. But I also know that I don't want to sin because sin will destroy me. Think about it. I don't know why people would think this, but every time you get a pack of cigarettes, right on that cigarette package, it tells you that this thing causes heart disease, lung cancer, and multiple other things. Yet people still smoke them. And then they get cancer, and many of them, the first person they blame is God. God bless you, Bishop. Amen. The first person they blame is God. I don't know why God gave me this cancer. No, God didn't do that. You smoked, the package warned you, it had a warning label on it. It said that you are not supposed to, it says that this could possibly give you lung cancer, heart disease, and a number of other things. The problem with mankind is we never want to take responsibility for our own actions, and we desire to always blame somebody else. It started from the very beginning. The moment man fell, he began to blame other people. Notice what Adam, when you read Genesis chapter 3, and God asked Adam, where are you? And Adam says, here, I hid myself, Lord, because I was naked. And then God says, who told you was naked? Now the first thing, now Adam, a real man, would have said, Lord, I messed up. I did exactly what you told me not to do. I ate from the tree. Forgive me. No, but was just like you and me. He said, that woman you gave me, she made me eat. See, we never want to take responsibility for ourselves. We want to blame God and we want to blame other people. A very famous basketball player. If I mention his name, you would know who he was. Some years ago, I remember back in the 90s, he announced that he had AIDS. And it happened from sleeping around. Well, this man sits up there and says, God gave me AIDS to teach me a lesson. No! God did not do that. Your sin did that. Your sin did that to you. God had nothing to do with that. The only way God could have did that to him is if God had made him sleep around. Praise God. If God had made him sleeping with every other kind of woman that you could think of. But that wasn't God's will. God had made his will known when God said, thou shalt not commit adultery. Praise God. When God gave that commandment, God was not trying to restrict him from having fun. God was trying to protect him from the destruction that would come from committing adultery. Amen. Hallelujah. I think hopefully I built that up enough. Turn with me to Proverbs chapter 1. Proverbs chapter 1, we want to look at verses 29-33. I've got a lot of scriptures on here, and I promise you I'm not going to go through, probably not even going to go through half of them, praise God. I create these long outlines more for myself than anybody else so that I can be sure that what I'm preaching is the right thing and have enough of the Word of God in there. But Proverbs chapter 1, verses 29-33, and it starts out in 29. I'm reading from the King James Version. For that they hated knowledge and did not choose the fear of the Lord. They would none of my counsel. They despised all my reproof. Therefore they shall eat the fruit of their own way and be filled with their own devices. Praise God. For the turning away of the simple shall slay them, and the prosperity of fools shall destroy them. But whoso hearkeneth unto me shall dwell safely and shall be quiet from fear of evil. Praise God. The reason why God hates sin and wants to keep us from sinning is because it's sin that destroys us. Yes, it is sin that's killing us. Yeah. It is sin that is really causing the problems that we have in our nation right now. If we wonder why our teenagers are so rebellious, it's because of sin. When we decided to take prayer out of school and started to put abortion counselors in the school, and then we wonder why our children don't want to come to church, don't want to receive Jesus Christ, and don't want to do right, it's because of sin. Hallelujah. Amen. Sin is destroying this nation, and sin is destroying the individuals out there. God has done everything he possibly could without using his divine power to force us to do anything to keep this from happening to us. He has given us his laws. He has given us his word, or the laws that are contained within his word. And he's told us what to do and what not to do on the basis of love and not on the basis of restriction. But at the same time, he has given us the freedom to choose. In Deuteronomy chapter 30, verses 19 and 20, you don't have to turn there. God says, I have set before you life and death, blessing and cursing, good and evil. And then he tells you, this is what you ought to choose, though. He says, choose life, praise God. He says, choose life so that thou and thy household or thy descendants may live. And then he says, cleave unto me, for I am your life. Praise God. God wants us to choose life. He doesn't want this hurt. He doesn't want this pain in this world. And one day he's going to do something about it. He's going to get rid of it. But until then, he's asking us to obey him and choose life. Because sin not only affects you and me as individuals, it affects other people around us. You know, today at our church, I've been teaching a series of messages on love, the royal law of the kingdom, praise God. And some of the things I've been pointing out from the scriptures is the fact that we sin because of our basic selfish nature. All sin is basically me only, selfishness. We don't care, when we sin, we're not concerned with how it affects others. Amen. See, in Romans chapter 13 is a good example. Romans chapter 13 says, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not kill. All these are summed up in one word, thou shalt love the Lord thy God and thy neighbor as thyself. And see, if I love you, I won't steal from you. Amen. If I love you, I won't, you know, if I love Bishop Brown, I'm not going to covet his wife. Praise God. Amen. If I love you, Deacon, I won't be trying to steal your car from you. Praise God. Amen. See, love keeps me from sinning. If I love my wife, I'm not going to go out and commit adultery. Praise Jesus. Because what I do hurts her. Mm-hmm. If I steal from you, I'm hurting you. See, everything I do has an effect on somebody else. God created it that way. God created mankind to have community. And what we do affects one another. So that's why sometimes you can sin, or you may not have sinned, but yet somebody else's sin has done something to you. Praise God. I mean, here's somebody smoking crack and got AIDS, and then they're pregnant with a baby. That baby didn't do anything. But yet the baby is a crack addict and has AIDS because of what the mother did. But then you got some of these women, sadly, who will sell their children. Will sell their children in order to get that high, that one time high. This is what sin does to you. Sin is a selfish principle. And it leads to destruction, not only of yourself, but it affects others. And that's one of the reasons why God hates it so much. Because God is love. He is love. And God hates to see us hurting. But see, because God has given us the freedom, he's given this world the freedom to choose, then there are certain things by covenant agreement he has to allow to happen. Praise God. And if he was to use his divine power to interfere in every circumstance, we'd never learn how to walk right with him. Amen. Amen. Let's look at Proverbs chapter 6. Thank you, Bishop. Praise God. Proverbs chapter 6. Verses 32 and 33. It says, but whoso committeth adultery with the woman lacketh understanding. He that doeth it destroyeth his own soul. A wound and dishonor shall he get, and his reproach shall not be wiped away. Praise God. Give it some thought. What if Bishop had invited me here? He invited me here a couple of days ago to bring forth the word of God. But then yesterday on the news, maybe two of y'all was watching, maybe the rest of y'all wasn't watching the news. But maybe on the news you saw two on Saturday, Pastor Troy getting arrested because he was in a hotel with three prostitutes. And then, you know, somebody comes, gets me out of jail, pays my bail, and gets me out. And then I come here to today and come preach to y'all. And some of y'all saw me on TV. What would you think? What is that? What in the world is that guy? Did Bishop know what happened to that man? You'll be thinking that, right? What is he doing out there? How dare he? Some of y'all would, as soon as I got up here, some of you would be dragging me right back down, wouldn't you? I know if it was my church, I would. I think you need to step down right now. Praise God. Because I brought a reproach upon myself by sinning. Praise God. But not only that, I have caused much destruction to myself in my own soul. I've destroyed my marriage already. I've destroyed my integrity. I've destroyed my own witness. I've destroyed everything about me. Praise God. So sin causes destruction in your life. Yes, it does. And God warns us against sin because he loves us. And see, that's why I say you got to have the right picture of God. See, if you got this picture of God with this lightning bolt, or this, well, or better yet, a baseball bat, just waiting for you. Oh, yeah, go ahead and do that so I can bat you one. If that's your picture of God, then you may serve God, but you will serve him out of fear and not out of love. Praise God. Amen. Amen. God wants you and I to serve him out of love. Yes, he wants us to walk with him, that's what the Pharisees did back in Jesus' day. They came up with all kinds of, they added rules to God's laws in order to put burdens on people, but they were so afraid of God, they were so afraid of God's wrath and God's retribution that they couldn't even enjoy God. Jesus came and began to set people free through showing them who the Father is and what the Father is really like. Praise Jesus. See, I'd say Jesus was the will of God in action. Jesus himself said, "What if you have seen me, you have seen the Father." He said, "The Father and I are one." Hebrews chapter, I think it's chapter 1, tells us that Jesus is the message that God has tried to send into the world. And Jesus speaks on behalf of God. Whatever Jesus is like, that's what the Father is like. Praise God. And so Jesus came into the world showing us that God is a loving God. That he's kind. He cares about you. He cares about your physical body. He cares about your physical needs. He cares about your dreams and your desires. That's the kind of God you have. See, the kind of God that the Pharisees were trying to bring us is almost like the God of Islam today. He cares about nothing, but I don't even know what Islam, what Allah cares about. Allah seems to be just on a bent on destroying everything. Destroying people. I mean, I seen a picture the other day of ISIS Muslims stomping on babies of people who would not commit to their sect. Stomping and killing babies. That's sick. It is sick. That's it's so far away from the truth about God. And then you got some of these uneducated people, I'll put it that way. They may be college educated or whatever, but they're uneducated in the things of God, going around saying that Christians and Muslims worship the same God. No, we do not. Our God is not a murderer. Our God does not endorse violence. Our God tells us that if somebody, and now I'm not at the place where I can do this just yet, but if somebody slaps you on one cheek, you're supposed to turn the other one to them. I don't want to be tested on that, praise God. But if I do get tested, I'm going to trust God that I'll pass the test, praise Jesus. I know I saw a television show It was Michael Landon back in the 80s. He was playing a part of an angel in some TV show where him and you remember that?
Yeah.
Yeah, some of y'all, he's going around. You know, back in the 80s, it seemed like all them shows, the 70s and 80s, you got these shows where people were walking around, wandering all over the place, solving people's problems. But Michael Landon, in the first episode of this show, he's in a bar fight. What an angel doing in a bar, I don't know. But he's in a bar fight. The guy, pow, hits him. So Michael Landon turns the other cheek to him, and the guy hits him again. Pow! And then Michael Landon says, "Well, I turned the other cheek," and he picks the guy up and throws him across the room. I said, "Well, he did obey the scripture." We know that's not the intent of the scripture, but it does make you think. But the point is that our God is not violent. He's not the type. He doesn't want us going around destroying people and killing people because they won't commit to Christianity or they won't do what we want them to do. Praise God. Yeah. I mean, but you insult Allah, and they want to murder you. But yet they can take and put Jesus, make a painting of Jesus, put him in a jar of urine, and you don't hear a peep out of us. Praise God. Because we're not going to go kill and blow up museums and stuff like that just because you insulted our Lord. Our job is to still love you anyhow. All glory to God. So that's what makes our God so different from any other so-called deity out there. Our God can be insulted and still love.
Yes, he can.
Hallelujah. Jesus told his disciples, he said, when they kill you, it's because they will think that they're doing God a favor. But he said, it's because they don't know me. They don't know him. So it's not God who is going around stealing, killing, and destroying. It is mankind and our depraved ideas about God, and which is influenced, of course, by Satan. Because the Bible tells us that the small g, God of this world, has blinded the minds of men that they should see not, lest the glorious light of the gospel of Jesus Christ should shine unto them. Men are blinded.
Yes.
The Bible tells, Paul was told in Acts chapter 26, God told him to turn him from darkness to light, mm-hmm. from the power, authority, and influence of Satan unto God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins and an inheritance amongst them which is sanctified by faith that is in me. See, people are blinded by the devil. They are under his influence. They are under his power. In Ephesians chapter 2, Paul talks about how we walk according to the course of this world, according to the prince and the power of the air, the spirit that now works in the children of disobedience. This is not God's desire. That's why Jesus came to rescue us from that. Praise God. But the thing is that with sin in itself contains its own seeds of destruction. Look at Galatians chapter 6. Very familiar passage. Just give me a couple more minutes. I'll be done. Oh, yeah. Yeah, I got a whole lot of scriptures up here, but I'm only going to give you a couple. Maybe I can finish the message when Bishop invites me back again. Amen. All right. Galatians chapter 6. I'm going to give y'all, is it okay if I give you like two more scriptures?
Yes, sir.
All right. Thank you. Thank you. Galatians chapter 6, verses 6 through 8. It says, "Let him that is taught in the word communicate unto him that teacheth in all good things. Be not deceived. God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. For he that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption. But he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. See, the sin, the seed of destruction is right there within the sin itself. See, when God created, he also established laws of sowing and reaping, praise God. Now, when he established those laws, they were meant only to be used for good. The laws of sowing and reaping were meant to, for us to produce children, to populate the world. It was meant to plant seeds for food and basically to, for as far as the spiritual laws were concerned, they were meant for us to bless and be and receive blessings in return. But all of God's laws, when sin comes in, it perverts the laws of God and turns them towards destruction.
Yes.
Let's look at the, let's take the law of gravity, for example. The law of gravity is a good thing, praise God.
Yes, it is.
It keeps us grounded. It keeps me from floating up in the air. It keeps these instruments on the ground. But the law of gravity, when sin enters into it, it can cause destruction. I remember years ago watching a show where a man, he was in, had been in prison for a while, and was at, and was begging the family for that they would approve his parole. What had happened? Him and his friends were up on an overpass one night, and they were all drunk, and so they were throwing rocks down on the highway. And throwing big rocks. Well, they threw a rock, and it smashed into a woman's window and killed her. And so, the family was still bitter about it. They weren't going to forgive him, and they told him, no, we're not going to approve your parole. And, you know, he was sad, and I was sad for him. But the thing is that sin caused a law that God had created for our good. Sin was used to cause somebody's destruction, praise God. And now this man is in prison probably for almost the rest of his life because he used the law of gravity in the wrong way. Mm. Well, that's the same thing with the laws of sowing and reaping. See, you can use the laws of sowing and reaping to get blessed, or you can use the laws of sowing and reaping to destroy yourself. And that's what, and here in Galatians chapter 6, it tells us, don't be deceived. God is not mocked. Whatever you sow, you reap. For he that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption. Praise God. I like the way the contemporary English version puts it. It says, if you follow your selfish desires, you will harvest destruction. But if you follow the Spirit, you will harvest eternal life. Hallelujah.
Praise God.
Let me show you just two more scriptures and I'm gonna let you go. I'm gonna turn this back over to Bishop. But James chapter 1, let's look at this real quick. James chapter 1. Are y'all learning anything?
Amen.
Oh, glory to God. Hallelujah. I'm so happy. Thank you. Thank you. If you're learning something, I know the Lord is with me.
Amen.
Amen. James chapter 1, begin at verse 14. It says, but every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust and enticed. Then when lust, look at this, when lust hath conceived, it bringeth forth sin. And sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death. Praise God. Sin itself brings forth death. If you read Genesis chapter 2, verses 15 through 17, we're not going to turn there, but if you really read it and study it, you will see the loving heart of God. God tells Adam, he says, of every tree thou mayest freely eat. That's generosity.
Yes.
Oh, he was generous.
Yes.
But he said, just one stinky little tree, I'm asking you, don't eat from it, because in the day that you eat from it, you shall surely die.
Amen.
Now I want you, if you really read that, I want you to read it very closely. God didn't say, in the day that you eat of it, I will surely kill you.
Amen.
He never said that. He never said that. He didn't say I was going to do anything to you. He said, the day that you disobey me, you will die. And exactly, spiritual death. He would be disconnected from God. Well, that's another message in itself right there. I mean, you know, the thing is, in Deuteronomy 30, verse 20, God says, cleave to the Lord your God, who is your life. And when we sin, we disconnect ourselves from God. We separate ourselves from God. And we leave ourselves open to satanic forces that are poised to destroy us. Oh, glory to God. Hallelujah. This teaching is a series in itself, but let's look at one more passage and we're going to close out. John chapter 5. This is our Lord and Savior Jesus. He had gone to the pool of Bethesda where a man had been sitting on a bed, and every once in a while an angel would come and stir up the pool, and the first one in got healed. Praise God. That means everybody else, you lost out. So and this poor guy, he's on his bed, he can't get up, and nobody's helping him, and so he never gets the chance to get healed once the angel comes. But Jesus, being the wonderful guy that he is, asked the man, would you like to be made whole? And the man starts complaining, well, nobody takes me and put me in the water. And Jesus didn't ask all that. He said, do you want to be made whole? How many times we do that? I know I've done it so many times. God will ask me one simple question and I'll start coming out with all my excuses. And God, he's so patient. He'll wait for me to shut up. And then he'll say, now, let me ask the question to you again. Amen. He is a patient God, I'm telling you. But Jesus heals the man, and later on he finds him again, and he says this in verse 14. Afterward, Jesus findeth him in the temple and saith unto him, behold, thou art made whole. Now listen to this. Sin no more, lest a worse thing come unto thee. Praise God. Sin no more, lest a worse thing come unto thee. Sin is the destroyer. Jesus never went around destroying people. He went around delivering them from the results of their sin. He went around delivering them from the destruction that they put on themselves. Matthew chapter 1 verse 21 says that thou shalt call his name, talking to Joseph, thou shalt call his name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins. I looked that up in the Greek, because I don't speak Greek. You know, Bishop, I understand he speaks a couple of different languages. I speak one language, that's English. I speak a little bit of Japanese, but because my wife is Japanese. But all the Greek I know, I look it up in those Strong's concordances and other dictionaries. But I looked this up in the Greek, and the word save is talking about delivering from destruction. Praise God. And so Jesus came not to destroy people's lives, but and you can, if you were taking notes, you could put Luke chapter 9 verses 55 and 56, where Jesus told his disciples, when they wanted him to call down fire on his village because they wouldn't let him in, he said, I have not come to destroy men's lives, but to save them. Praise God. Jesus never went around destroying lives. He came and saved and delivered people from the destruction that they put upon themselves through their sin. Hallelujah. So, in conclusion, our picture of God determines how we live ourselves. Paul said it this way. He said, by beholding, we are changed from glory to glory. The way I understand, if I understand God to be a murderer, a destroyer, unforgiving, arbitrary, mean, then I have every excuse to yield to my flesh and act like that as well, praise God. But if I understand God to be kind, loving, forgiving, patient, merciful, then I'm obligated to act that way because I must emulate my God. Glory to God. And I have determined, because I've discovered how loving and kind my God is, I determined I don't want to sin no more. I don't want to sin because, number one, it's the sin that's destroying me. And number two, I'm breaking my Father's heart. I can leave with this illustration. Most of us here have children. Mm-hmm. And if our children, even if they don't do something personal to us, when we see them doing something that's hurting them, it breaks our hearts. Yeah. It's almost, as a matter of fact, in many ways, it's worse. You almost rather they do it to you than to keep doing it to themselves. Because you want them free. So it hurts. Well, if we feel that way about our children, our Father, multiply that by 10,000. He is so sensitive. It hurts him to see us hurting ourselves. And that's why he constantly calls us into repentance, constantly calls us to come back to him, constantly calls us to stop doing what we're doing and get ourselves straightened out so that we can be once again turned and be a blessing to him and to others. Praise God.
Amen.
Amen. God bless you. Thank you for this time and opportunity.